I love you at Deckard University. That's why we're talking about Indiana. Reading through the literature, we had a previous presentation about local markets, so we're going to continue that, so forget about proposals for now. But we're going to talk about how the increasing demand and how demand for fruits and vegetables has increased. A couple of trends. Organic has been increasing the demand of organic fruits and vegetables. Also, the demand for local foods and the expansion of direct to consumers and intermediate markets. So, farm to school, farm to table, farm to institution, those kind of products going to another institution beyond farmers markets and roadside stands. There's also been an increase on consumers' willingness to pay for things that have direct impact in their communities. So, let's talk about local and how local can support local farmers. However, for farmers, developing these new market linkages can be hard and can be challenging. A couple of reasons, the seasonality, the price volatility, the size of the farmers. Most Indiana farmers tend to be, for fruits and vegetables, tend to be highly diversified and smaller on size. We wanted to know what are the main trends driving we know there is a, for the literature that talks about the supply shortages, whether their ability comes at work and small procurements. Those are things that are occurring for retailers. They're willing to buy, due to the demand for local foods, they're willing to buy smaller quantities and be more willing to also to do some contract work or, with smaller farmers. According to the local food marketing practices survey, a third of the farmers are selling to direct market channels. And those may include farmers markets, CSAs, co-ops, online farm stands, pharmacies, et cetera. So what I'm going to present today, it's a couple of two, there are two pieces here. So the first one is going to talk about face-to-face interviews that we did back in 2015 with urban and rural retailers of fresh produce. And we basically asked them, it was about an hour and 10-minute interview. And we asked them anything from operation, the characteristics of their operations, what were the decision-making processes to purchase local, to procure local and organic as well. What were the purchasing agreements that they had and the perceptions towards the main trends. And the second part is after understanding what are the retailers purchasing local, I wanted to put up something about data that we've been collecting since 2017. And this is data that has local and retail prices. So we have, there are two parts here. So we've been collecting farmers market prices for over 100 crops in Indiana. And then we have the USDA retailers prices. So we're gonna talk about what are the prices that consumers are paying either by local or retail. So I'm going to talk about the retail results. We categorized the retailers in two big categories. So the first one was by size. So depending on the sales per week. And the second one was by location. And by location, it was considered urban and rural, following Waldorf categorization of urban. So anything, if you have 320 people living and it will be in its role. So it's a combination between rural and urban. So when we found what's the decision making on what to purchase, we found that larger farm, larger retailers tend to rely on hard count inventory to understand what are the purchases and what are the trends that are following for the next year. We also know that prioritizing, this is not surprising, I think, they're prioritizing price versus quality on what to procure. And the decision made is usually by the producer farm manager. Of course, you have more more employees. For smaller farmers, however, this is very different. They usually tend to base on experience, and they tend to have more contact with consumers. We know that if there's a small retailer, they tend to talk to the consumers and understand what they want. And they start bringing products slower. So they try to they tend to have verbal agreements with producers, and they just tend to test some products in small quantities, and they vary by seasonality. the decision is primarily based by the owner. But one of the things that we found very important is that, yes, price is an important attribute to purchase, but quality and product rotation is also very important for them. Of course, they're usually buying from local. So smaller retailers tend to buy from local, and that's something I'm showing you now. So the Indiana Fresh Market retailers tend to source from a variety of suppliers. Local farmers, local wholesalers, and regional wholesalers. But there is a big difference between larger and smaller. So the larger retailers tend to source mainly from wholesalers. And they tend to be either regional or local wholesalers. But what they do is they primarily have formal written contracts. And they do have this very specific requirements on their packaging, labeling, how do they deliver, and the days they want to deliver, and where's the traceability. So if something is organic, what farmer is it coming from as well. The smaller retailers tend to prefer local farmers. So they tend to have these verbal agreements or handshake agreements with local farmers. But however, due to the seasonality, they also look for regional wholesalers. So we have a few specific wholesalers in Indiana that tend to source also locally. So when they don't have access to these local farmers, they tend to look for these local and regional wholesalers that are sourcing locally as well. And a lot of trust-based transactions with those local farmers. The sales of local produce is way higher than organic, and this is regardless of the size and the location. We know that larger retailers tend to, what they call local, or what they prefer to buy local, are salads and herbs, just because what their consumers want or the customers want. But for smallers, anything from 60 to 80% are local sales. So we find that there's a big opportunity around here for local producers in Indiana or neighboring states to source to these smaller retailers. And this is except for winter, where things are very hard to source locally. The definition of local, we have some presentation about that. So for larger retailers, local is anything that is regional. So anything from wholesalers from Ohio sourcing into Indiana, they will buy it. And also anything from neighboring states, from Michigan produce, they would consider it local. But when we look at smaller retailers, they consider Indiana farmers in Indiana. And that's what they would consider all local. So we're going to find very, very different products being sold. The best-selling organic products, no surprisingly, for larger are salads. It seems like larger retailers tend to procure salads. But also broccoli, bananas, and herbs, which are not going to be bananas local, of course. For the smaller, the best-selling are apples. So we do have an apple researcher up here, and I need to show him that. But they say that it's very hard to have organic apples, so they call it organically or sustainably grown. Tomatoes, seasonal products, or whatever is local, basically. For them, local is more important than organic, and just because it's because what their customers want. Retailers are aware of the effect of television, and this is regardless by size. So they are very aware of how Dr. Oz impacted the sales of kale. And they tend to prepare packages of produce and try to address those healthy trends into their volume sales. They recognize the value of gathering customer preferences. However, how they do it is very different. Larger retailers are very quantified in sales, but smaller retailers is by the interaction with the customers. And pricing is an important attribute for all of the retailers. But basically, local and variety can trump price. So this is very, very interesting for the marketing and contracts they have. The larger retailers tend to have very specific written contracts. And when they procure local, as I said before, they procure it from wholesalers. The smaller usually have verbal agreements or handshakes, so they have forms for new growers. So growers can apply to be a procurer of the can apply to procure produce, and they go for regional. Also, if farmers, especially smaller farmers, want to sell to retailers, they probably are going to be more likely to sell it to smaller retailers. because they're willing to accept smaller deliveries. And then usually the small retailers tend to care and express how they want that both the farmers and their business are financially stable, which wasn't a something mentioned for larger retailers. So what are the suppliers' attributes looking for? Larger tend to procure mainly from wholesalers, so they want reputation and they want quality, freshness, and price, which is a priority. When we look at smaller retailers, which we think is probably one of the opportunities for smaller farmers in Indiana, they want varieties because they cannot buy the same crop from all the farmers. And tomato is probably one of the best selling products in Indiana. But they're looking for something else. Negotiate price to accommodate quantity, and they want reliability due to the seasonality. So if growers can offer reliability either by growing practices or selling the products consciously, they're probably going to have a chance with smaller retailers. The major consumer trends, and this is where we differentiated because urban and mixed rural were kind of different. New superfoods and organic, they believe organic is being replaced by sustainable. Ethnic produce in smaller packages, but rural, whatever speaks to local. Major consumer trends, for urban, what they think is going to happen in the future is organic legumes to be replaced for pesticide free. So this may be an opportunity for farmers and being personal in customer service. However, rural, local tends to be and remain, they think local is going to remain a key important word. Non-GMO and anything that is healthy, so superfoods. Based on these opportunities, we wanted to see, are those prices between local and retailing are going to have any difference? So we put together the pricing results, and I'm going to show you a couple of them, a couple of products, basically. So one of the things I mentioned, that tomatoes is one of the most important crops in Indiana. So what we did, we basically hired market managers. So we have farmers market managers in 10 markets in Indiana sending us prices weekly of over 100 products. And what we have here is the tomato prices, and this is per pound and weekly. And we started in April 24th selling tomatoes in Indiana. This is aggregated data from Indiana. And until November 20th. So what we see is we collected the highest price and the lowest price for tomatoes. And the highest price, usually they actually start the same like the beginning of the season, but then we see a gap increasing. And one of the things that we think is that for as varieties increase and we have different kinds of colors and heirloom tomatoes, we may see these differences. And we have here more of the Roma tomatoes are going to be kind of the same across the summer. And then towards the end of the season, we see the oversupply of tomatoes. We wanted to compare with the Midwest. And the Midwest retailers, so these are retail prices in the Midwest. We can find only for Indiana, and we have primarily the same weeks. Same kind of tomatoes, less than tomato. We see that at the beginning of the season, both prices, the highest and the lowest price of tomatoes being sold by retailers tend to be lower. And then when the season starts increasing, the summer season, surprisingly, price for tomatoes increase. So here's what I want to show you. And this is very interesting because on the blue line, we have the farmer's market prices, right? So at the beginning of the season, everybody wants to go to the farmer's market to buy their tomatoes. And everybody wants fresh things that are local. Farmers markets are responsive to the supply of tomatoes, and a lot of farmers tend to sell tomatoes, and they lower prices. But the retailers actually increase the prices. So what we find is, at the beginning of the season, farmers selling at the farmers markets are able to capitalize on that demand. But they're very responsive to that supply because they have the competitors next door. You're going to find every farmer, you were saying 75% is fresh produce in Connecticut. I would say in those markets that we collect prices, it's anything between 60 to 90%. So if you have everybody selling tomato, farmers are decreasing but retailers are actually almost doubled. And this is the average price. Towards the end of the season, we see that the gap is still, it starts to open up. So what I try to understand is I see three different times of the period. So when we have retailers probably are coming with lower prices here, and they are like lower price, the average price is lower, farmers markets are higher as the season starts getting hot and more tomatoes are coming to the market. The farmers markets are going to be more responsive to supply and they decrease prices, but retailers are capitalizing on those new varieties. And then towards the end of the season, of course, we're going to have that responsiveness here and here. This is my message right here. If I want to look at things more complicated, which I tend to do, what we have, so the blue is the farmers market prices, and the red are the retail prices. And one of the interesting things is we saw that same trend here. So if we look at the average price, we see that trend. If you look at these gaps, we're going to see the same trend. And this is anything from late June until September. So one of the things that, one of the messages, take-home messages here is why, well, one of the questions I have is why are farmers market vendors lowering prices at the point that actually the highest prices in some weeks for retailers are higher? So you as a consumer are going to buy that blue heirloom tomato at Meijer, and you're going to pay more than buy that blue heirloom tomato at the farmers market. You're willing to do that. Well, there's an opportunity, it seems to me, for farmers market vendors. And the other thing is, if you can start earlier, you're probably going to get these higher prices. You're not going to get the lower prices for tomatoes. So farmers market vendors are using production technology. So greenhouses, high tunnels, or early varieties that can hit the early markets are going to be more likely to get a higher price, regardless of the variety they're going to sell. Towards the end of the market season, we're going to find that, again, farmers, tomato prices are about $3. So something to think about is we're going to find this gap being lower, so probably there are going to be opportunities there. We wanted to compare local and organic, and I have no minutes. I have more minutes. But we wanted also to compare the same trend occurs. So local, it's blue, sold at the farmer's market, organic. We don't have organic certified tomatoes sold at the farmer's market. We don't have a farmer certified organic. One of the reasons they're very small. And consumers prefer local. That's why they go to the farmer's market. So, but we do find that local prices are higher for tomatoes at the beginning of the season again. Once the season starts, we see this crossing path. And towards the end of, so we find the same trend when comparing local and organic. I don't have time, but green beans and cucumbers follow different trends, and we can do the same graphs for over 100 crops, and I'm not going to bore you with that. But tomatoes is one of our key crops. I wanted to show you that. I wanted to thank you if you have any questions. I would like to acknowledge my co-author, especially for the first part of the data, Maria Marshall, and this is a scholar that has been working with me on the farmers market. And if you have any questions, I'll be happy to take.